Welcome along to another episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post in association with SBK. I'm Dave Clark, he is Steve Palmer, and of course, he has done it, Tommy Fleetwood. An ode to Tommy this week's show. Not a dry eye in the house on Sunday night, Steve.
No, the fairway Jesus has risen. Real feel-good factor to Sunday night. Obviously, as hard-nosed punters, we wanted Russell Henley to win because we were on Russell Henley, but obviously the player you want to lose to in those circumstances is Tommy Fleetwood. Yes, so pleased to see him finally win a PGA Tour event.
And this is growing on me, Steve. I might grow out. I suggested to you on WhatsApp that I might grow the hair out in tribute to him.
Yeah. I feel we should keep this on until Christmas, maybe, to fully indulge Fleetwood fans. Yeah. I mean, yeah, he looks good. He was cleanly shaven on last week. Did you notice that? Maybe that's the answer. He accidentally put the wrong setting on his beard trimmer early in the week. And then I've done that before. It's a nightmare when you do that because then you've no choice but to continue chopping away.
Committed, so, yeah. Yeah,
you commit. So maybe, yeah, a cleanly shaven Fleetwood is going to be ruthless, a ruthless front runner because, you know, he cruised home in the end. We'll get to the Tour Championship, but it was an emphatic victory.
It was. We will get to all of that. This week's show, we've got one tournament to preview, three to look back on, a winner for Steve as well in the Livers. A reminder that we're here, of course, with our friends SBK. Jump on the website, BetSBK. And take advantage of the free bet offer there. Bet 10, get £40 in free bets with SBK. Terms and conditions apply. There are three tournaments to get stuck into. We're going to start, as I know you like to go in chronological order, Steve. The British Masters. Talk us through kind of what happened here. Alexander Noren was the winner, 16 under par. Højgaard, Kabari, Nakajima, all in behind. Andy Sullivan as well, Fitzpatrick, Penge. All the big guns were there.
Yeah, this was the first of our second places. Alex Noren was the party pooper. Three birdies in a row on 15, 16 and 17 on Sunday. You know, transformed the golf tournament. I thought Nicolai Højgaard was going to win. And then Noren did that trio of birdies. It was a decisive burst. It meant he could hack his way up 18. He gave us some hope on 18 because a really wild drive. But he knew a bogey would be enough. He had a significant bogey putt though, didn't he? 6 feet and 9 inches. So yeah, there was a chance he was in a double bogey and we'd get in a playoff with Højgaard. But yeah. Alex Noren had a long injury layoff. He's fresh. He's coming into this part of the season fresher than most. And yeah, a few people suggested he could be on the Ryder Cup team. I don't think it's going to happen. I think even if he won this week, I think it would, and I'm not certain Noren is on the Ryder Cup radar, but obviously he's played in it before, experienced campaigner. But yeah, we had heartbreak with Nicolai Højgaard, Dave. I don't know how much you were watching of it.
Bits and pieces of it. He's one of them players, isn't he? Just solid. Like, you can never put a line through him when you're going through the field because he's just capable of just solid golf, does everything right, nothing too flashy, and gets the job done. And when he's in the frame, he's not a player that's going to wilt, is he, when the winning line comes?
No. Very experienced campaigner, prolific DP World Tour winner. Still hasn't managed to get the job done on the PGA Tour, but that's, he's had some near misses. Remember, JB Holmes slowed him up when he had a great chance at Torrey Pines. But yeah, Alex Noren gets the best out of his game, doesn't he? I mean, yeah, I wouldn't say he's the most naturally blessed player in the world by any stretch, but gets the best out of his game. Nicolai Højgaard, I suppose you could say, is the opposite. You know, gifted, dashing player. Looked the likely winner of the tournament on the 15th hole. He had a great drive at the 15th hole, par 5, 323 yards down the middle. So I'm assuming from there he's going to win. Yeah, you expect him to make birdie there, but the approach was loose, made par 5. And then from the middle of the fairway at 16, he makes bogey. That was the moment I thought, oh my gosh, Nicolai Højgaard might not be winning this golf tournament. So just a couple of loose approaches and Noren's birdie blast, and the tournament changed in a flash. But we'll discuss the Ryder Cup later. I still think Nicolai Højgaard has done enough to catch the eye of Luke Donald there. We got a huge Ryder Cup discussion to have later, Dave.
Yes, remiss of me to mention that we are going to have plenty of Ryder Cup chat. And of course, did you see that Rasmus had Luke Donald on the phone after he walked off?
Yeah. Well, you can only imagine what they've been discussing. Luke Donald has got a few decisions to make. Keegan Bradley has got some immense decisions to make, a long list of decisions. But yeah, we'll get through the reviews and the previews first, then we'll dive into the Ryder Cup. This is a Ryder Cup that's actually got me excited. In the past, regular Sweet Spot viewers will know that the Ryder Cup is not exciting for me as a punter, but this one has really got my attention. I think this could be the best Ryder Cup we've ever had, and potentially a great betting opportunity. But yeah, the British Masters, they were all up there, Dave, weren't they? There was plenty of Ryder Cup hopefuls in the mix. Rasmus has secured his place, finished 13th. I mean, he hit the ball absolutely beautifully all week, didn't hole a putt. You know, 13th position was about the worst position he could have finished in, Dave. Rasmus is swinging superbly. Rasmus Nygaard-Pedersen tied with Rasmus Højgaard in 13th place. But yeah, both Rasmuses just shy of the places, got the place money from Nicolai. But interesting Ryder Cup debates. I mean, talk to me about Marco Penge, Dave. How are you feeling about Marco Penge?
Well, listen, we discussed him last week in that it's unlikely that he's going to do enough. But he's playing some incredible golf. You know, if he does get picked, you know, you can't really question it, can you?
Well, he's a great player. He's a great player to watch. He's a rising star. I love watching Marco Penge. He tied sixth on Sunday. Three front nine bogeys on Sunday. Yeah. Only one birdie on the back nine. Sunday 72. It's been a dramatic few weeks for him. I think it's come too late for the Ryder Cup. I don't see how you can pick Penge. See, you can't resist the Ryder Cup chat now. I don't see how you can pick Penge ahead of Nicolai Højgaard. I mean, they're both in form, similar style of play. But Nicolai Højgaard was on the last team. Penge will be a rookie at Bethpage. I don't think Penge's on the radar.
Matt park Fitzpatrick. It. Just park it. We'll come back to it. Those locks look lovely on you, mate. It looks natural.
Yeah. The trouble is, I can't get this. I can't get this naturally because my hair grows up. Even if I wanted to,
we've discussed this before.
Exactly. Yeah. I can't have this because my hair grows up rather than down. But yeah, it does look good. I believe this is a Moana wig that my daughter owns, a Moana wig. She's a big fan of Moana.
I think I could be the Little Mermaid here as well.
You are the Little Mermaid, Dave. You'll always be my Little Mermaid.
Right. On that note, let's move on to why we are rocking the locks then. 164th PGA Tour event for Southport's Tommy Fleetwood, and he gets the job done in incredible style, in the most lucrative fashion as well. $10 million. The Tour Championship was won by England's Tommy Fleetwood, 18 under par. And they gave chase, but it was a chase in vain because, you know, we expected maybe a wobble or two. We've seen him throw away, we'll have to call it throw away, three-shot leads previously when in this kind of position. But he got the job done. And really, Steve, never looked in any doubt, I didn't think, in the back nine.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that it's a real feel-good factor too, isn't there? I mean, it's one of those tournaments where you wish you hadn't had a bet. Obviously, I do. You know, when you're on Russell Henley, there's a little little devil on your shoulder. We're hard-nosed punters, but if I hadn't have had a bet, I would have really thoroughly enjoyed it. I enjoyed it anyway. I'm delighted for Tommy Fleetwood. He's one of the nicest guys on the tour, isn't he? If not the nicest guy on the tour, it's impossible not to be pleased for him. And you have to doff your cap with the manner. Yeah, front running performance going up against a former FedEx Cup winner in Patrick Cantlay. You know, look at how they both started on Sunday. Fleetwood, you'd expect to be nervous. Fleetwood started well. Patrick Cantlay starts bogey, double bogey.
I just want to jump in with Cantlay. There was a video that I saw going viral, and rightly so, of him addressing the ball. And with the caption, you can actually see the grass growing under his feet. I mean, you don't want to be playing with someone like that. You don't even want to be watching someone playing golf like that, let alone trying to win a golf tournament.
No, exactly. No, it's really, really awkward. And, you know, I felt for Tommy Fleetwood in the Travelers because remember he was playing with Keegan Bradley when he had a chance to win the Travelers. Keegan Bradley is slow and the crowd were again. So, again, it's not an ideal scenario for Tommy Fleetwood having Patrick Cantlay alongside you. And I expected Patrick Cantlay to give a much better account of himself than he did. You know, that long victory drought that Cantlay's on is clearly affecting him now. I don't think the jury's out anymore on that. You know, Cantlay hasn't won since August 2022. And, you know, he started abysmally, finished abysmally. In the middle of his round, he got his act together a bit. But, Cantlay didn't put any pressure on Fleetwood. And that was great because that allowed Tommy to loosen up. And, Fleetwood played some great golf. He has a few loose shots here and there, but it was fantastic golf. And you have to doff your cap because the longer these things go on, Dave, the harder they get to achieve. he only has to ask his mate Rory McIlroy about that. Yeah, this had McIlroy Masters vibes about it, didn't he? Obviously not on the same level, Tour Championship, not as prestigious as the Masters, but Fleetwood's been trying for years, and every failure, the questions are being asked, and I thought it was incredibly brave to hold himself together in those circumstances. Yeah, you know, Patrick Cantlay should have been tough opposition, but Scotty Scheffler's not far behind either. Russell Henley's a prolific winner on the PGA Tour. Yeah, he's playing in the Tour Championship. Yeah, I think to win it with a big one is really impressive. Really impressive.
Oh, he's not just won any event, has he? He's won arguably the biggest of all, particularly in terms of prize money.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to doff my cap a little bit further, because a lot of people have suggested during this PGA Tour victory that why doesn't he just enter one of the rubbish events? You know, if he enters the Barracuda, but obviously, he's too proud to do that. And I'm so glad he didn't go along that route. I mean, he could have entered a rubbish event and gone off like 4-1 favourite in one of these rubbish events. But he's won a big one. Yeah, sorry, Dave.
I was going to say, after 18 holes, you mentioned Scotty Scheffler. There was an air of inevitability about it, in that he was probably close enough and he was just going to go through the gears. And it was inevitable. I'll just go with that word. that he was going to get the job done. Like, I don't know what price he traded after 18 holes, but he was certainly close enough, the captain.
Well, absolutely. After 18 holes, Russell Henley shot 61. Russell Henley's putted amazingly. Yeah, obviously high hopes for Russell Henley, but Scotty Scheffler just behind. Yeah, they were dominating the market at that stage. I mean, on Sunday, you know, the start could not have gotten any better for Tommy Fleetwood. You could probably hear the cheers across Southport, and you know, the whole north of England would have erupted. Well, the whole world, everyone seemed to want Fleetwood to win. The whole world was noisy when Scotty Scheffler went out of bounds at the first hole. You know, drove, and it went scuttled under a fence like a little... like a little rat, just went under the out of bounds. So Scheffler's had an absolute nightmare with his first shot of the day. Cantlay's come out abysmally. Like, yeah, Fleetwood must have just been flipping heck. Yeah, this is my day.
And then Russell Henley
never rolled any putts in the middle rounds. Yeah, I mean, Henley was magnificent in round one. Then the putter went cold from there. But it's just great for Fleetwood. Hopefully, win number two won't take as long.
That was going to be my next question to you, is now he's, because we spoke about him on the past here as in a player who's respected in the market, but could you really back him expecting to win? Yes, you could back him each way.
Yeah.
Now are we looking at a player that we can sort of, well, he's, yeah, I'll back him to the win part is a runner now in this bet.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the instinct is that the floodgates can open from here. But I would urge caution in that we felt that about Rory McIlroy, didn't we? After the Masters, we felt like the pressure's off the shoulders. It'll loosen up in the majors, and it didn't really happen. But there's plenty of time for that. Yeah, I think Fleetwood will obviously. I think Fleetwood's almost certain to win more PGA Tour events. Exciting times ahead. Still a young man in relative terms. And I think the other thing to say about this Tommy Fleetwood victory, I mean, Luke Donald is absolutely laughing his socks off, isn't he? I mean, to have Justin Rose and Tommy Fleetwood to win two of the three playoff events is just about the dream scenario. If Donald could have handpicked two winners in the playoffs, it would have been those two. Luke Donald, it's just laughable how well the build-up's going for Team Europe. I mean, it could not be, literally could be, not be going any better. I saw a picture of Luke Donald in Cornwall the other day, having a pint in Cornwall. I mean, he must just not have a care in the world. He might as well just stay in Cornwall drinking until the Ryder Cup starts, because he's got nothing to worry about. Everything's going well.
Whereas Keegan Bradley's probably sitting in a boozer, twisting his pint glass at 100 miles an hour, pondering his thoughts.
Yeah, I think Keegan Bradley is probably just trying to push his eyeballs back in, because when he gets stressed out, his eyeballs start coming out in stalks, as we discussed last week when he thought I was trying to chat up his fiance. His eyeballs his eyeballs come out on stalks. I think he's probably at the moment just in a room trying to push them back in. Yeah, his stress levels are enormous compared to Luke Donald. It's there's a real contrast here.
What a wonderful moment, though. Sport, eh? Absolutely brilliant. And a nice touch that Justin Rose was there filming Tommy Fleetwood. Did you see that?
Yeah, all mates together. Yeah, the European side's coming together nicely. The camaraderie is absolutely superb. Keegan Bradley has got much more deeper problems to get team cohesion. He's probably even a little bit worried about Scheffler, because Scheffler's approach play stats last week were really poor by his standards. He was the 14th best out of 30 on approach pace and really loose shots. Remember, he played all three playoff events. Scheffler looked a bit, lacking a bit of sparkle. Imagine if Scheffler just doesn't get out of that mental slump, and he's a weak link for the Ryder Cup. I mean, I'm getting a bit giddy now, but I can't.
Let's
I just cannot
slow down. I'll pump the brakes on that for a moment. That was the Tour Championship, the end of the season, as well as it were. Now, a winner from yourself. Do you know what? This is itching me like hell. I'm losing it. I've had enough. An ode to Tommy. There you go. Right, a winner from you, Steve. We had the team championship for the Livers. One selection, albeit was the favourite, but you made a very good case for John Rahm, Tyrrell Hatton, Tom McKibben, Caleb Trout, and it was Legion 13 who got the job done.
Yeah, yeah. It was a great relief, really, because you're obviously second in the British Masters with Hoggar, second in the Tour Championship with Henley. If Legion 13 had finished second on Sunday, it would have been quite disturbing. Never in doubt, never in doubt. Legion 13, never in doubt. I hope you went bananas, Dave. Hope you went bananas. I was
following it. I had a little play. I mean, I'm not, as you quite rightly know, that I'm not mad on the live anyway, let alone the team nonsense.
Well, I was
able to, I hope you was as well, Steve, I was able to watch it on my phone on ITVX.
I know. I've had several people alerting me to the fact that I'm an absolute dinosaur. I should have come in a dinosaur outfit today, never mind a Tommy Fleetwood one, because I just thought ITVX is the TV channel. You have to watch it on the TV. Show me age sometimes with the technical stuff. I didn't realise you could get ITVX on your phone. So that, thank you for all the people that have alerted me to that. My lady wife was one of the first people to mention it when I was fuming about how much it was going to cost me to get it on the Live app. But so that is the answer. ITVX is free on the phone. So I had that combination on Sunday night of watching them both. And the Tour Championship had wrapped up long before the Live Team Championship. Yeah, it went long into the night, the Live Team Championship. Went to a playoff. Yeah, I hope I didn't put you off completely, because I was fretting about people getting ill, but Legion 13 stayed fit throughout the tournament.
Yes.
And class told in the end. There were some squeaky bums on Friday night. Adrian Moronk beat John Rahm on Friday night. I was astonished that John Rahm picked the Cleeks as their first round opponents in the quarterfinal. Yeah, I didn't think Cleeks was one to go near. Rahm got his comeuppance by beaten by Adrian Moronk, but fortunately, the two youngsters of Legion 13 were exceptional all week. Tom McKibben and Caleb Surratt really came to the party. They were an excellent foursomes combination. Tyrrell Hatton holds some real pressure putts. Another thing that would have encouraged Luke Donald. Tyrrell Hatton had some real pressure putts last, particularly on the Friday and on the Sunday, and hold them all. He had an epic battle with Richard Blandy Bland on Friday night. Hatton against Bland was an epic. Hatton came through that. And then on Sunday, I think you saw what I was getting at about the class of the Legion 13 side, because it went to a playoff. And then in the playoff, the captains picked two players to go into a stroke play aggregate playoff. Despite the form of those youngsters, John Rahm's going to pick himself and he's going to pick Tyrrell Hatton. What a team to send into the playoff, Rahm and Hatton. And they hardly put a foot wrong in the playoff. And they emphatically won the playoff at the second extra hole. Both Rahm and Hatton made birdie. Both Bryson DeChambeau and Paul Casey failed to make birdie. Yet another Ryder Cup boost for Luke Donald. There were USA chants, Dave. I know I'm probably in the minority that was sort of focusing on the Live Team Championship on Sunday night, but there were USA chants because Bryson DeChambeau's in the playoff. The DeChambeau fans were getting behind DeChambeau against the Europeans, and then the Europeans were just faultless. So another fantastic boost I'm so pleased all this Sergio García chat has disappeared, Dave. Do you remember a few weeks back there was all this debate of whether Sergio García is going to be in the Ryder Cup? That's all gone very quiet for good reason. John Rahm's partner in the Ryder Cup will not be Sergio García. It will be Tyrrell Hatton, I expect.
That's great. A very good point. Yeah.
Great prep for him last week, Dave. You're very excited to see those two together.
Yeah. Anything else to add there, Steve? Or should we move on to one of the most iconic golf courses in the world?
Yeah, let's move on to one of my favourites. One day I'll get there.
Well, thoughts on last week then? Do get in touch with us. What did you make of Tommy Fleetwood, Legion 13 winning, Norum winning? Get in touch in the comments below let us know. Will Tommy Fleetwood be winning again anytime soon? Will he have that big Czech swagger? Maybe. As a punter, Steve, we'll get onto all the Ryder Cup team chat, but I'm already thinking of, well, listen, Tommy Fleetwood's going to be buzzing. Top European point scorer. All these kind of things are already swirling around in my head.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I've got Ryder Cup excitement for the first time in about 20 years. Like, you know, the Ryder Cup is a punting spectacle. There aren't many markets to get stuck into, but this one I'm really, really excited about. I think it's going to be a gripping event.
Right, the European Masters. I think is there a red jacket to the winner of this one?
Yeah, I think there is. Yeah, there is. Yeah, the lovely tailored red one.
I saw a picture of last year's winner Matt Wallace in a red jacket. And I thought I've seen someone else wearing that. So that is. That's what the winner gets. But we've got to start with the golf course here and where it is and just what goes on in the background as well. What an incredible place to play golf.
Yeah, Kranthurthia, Crans, Montana, Switzerland, 6,823 yards, par 70, three par fives. There's been a tour event staged at Crans every year since 1972, apart from 2020 COVID cancellation. Theribath Theeroff redesigned this course in 1999. Seve made it tougher, created these runoff areas around the greens. The sixth and seventh holes, drivable par fours, really exciting part of the course that. We've got small, firm, unreceptive greens, and we've got tree-lined undulating fairways. So a fiddly, tricky little test. Accuracy and control, the keys to success. We're at altitude, of course, so the ball flies further. And the weather forecast, Dave, is unsettled. We got plenty of rain in the Thursday forecast. Got some drizzle at the weekend. Calm for the most part. But sadly, I do need to do this. Potential draw bias. Potential draw bias. I'm sorry, Dave. I did need to sound the klaxon. It's only Tuesday morning. Hopefully things have changed. We all hate draw biases, and we've got some thunder in the forecast on Thursday, so that might flip things if there's a suspension. But as things stand, late Thursday, early Friday looks the best draw. We've got some wind expected on Friday afternoon. The only significant wind of the tournament looks like coming on Friday afternoon, so keep an eye on the tee times. A field of 156 is going to post.
So at the moment, we want a late tee time. We want to be going out late on the first day.
Yes. Yeah, as things stand. But as
and
I say,
anyone watching this, how can they keep on top of whether or not this is going to be prevalent or not?
EuropeanTour.com. The tee times will be announced soon, certainly by tomorrow morning.
Okay. Right. I've asked you previously, do you prefer a tournament that's nomadic or one that's in the same place with loads of course form? Well, you've got plenty of course form to go here. You mentioned how long it's been a tour event. This tournament dates back to 1923. This is a golf course that has been used over and over and over again. Recent winners, Matt Wallace, I mentioned, Ludwig Aubert, Tristan the Piston Lawrence, Rasmus Højgaard as well. You mentioned the altitude. We don't need to bomb it off the track, bomb it off the tee. Market leaders, Matt Fitzpatrick, Alex Noren, Aaron Rye, Nikolai Højgaard, a good field here, Steve, as well. You've told us which sort of player we should be looking for and when we should be looking for them to be teeing off. Now let's find out who's going to win it. How many in the team?
Three.
Just the three. Okay. Main selection is?
Adrian Sadia, who won his maiden DP World Tour title at the end of June. Brilliant final round 66 to win the Italian Open. Broke a heart, you might remember, because he defeated his fellow Frenchman Martin Couvreur as a Sunday duel in the end. We've been waiting a long time for Sadia's breakthrough. Been following him on Sweet Spot for many a moon. Won on the Challenge Tour in 2016. Lost a playoff on the Challenge Tour in 2017 in Switzerland, the Rolex Trophy. Back in Switzerland this week. Looks great value to upstage the market leaders. He had some success in Switzerland as an amateur, Dave. He won the 2012 Swiss Amateur by a six-shot margin. Obviously, France borders Switzerland. Kranthurthia is only about a two-hour drive from where Sadia was born. He's from the southeast of France. So he feels extremely comfortable in Kranthurthia. His record there is really solid. He made his DP World Tour debut in this tournament in 2012. Still an amateur, finished 55th. Great effort. He finished 25th on his first Crown start as a pro, 2014, four rounds in the 60s. Didn't get back to Crowns until 2018. At that stage of his career, he was having a few shoulder niggles, missing a lot of cuts, but he carded a second round 65 at Crowns that year. His fourth European Masters start was in 2021. World number 443 at the time, finished seventh. Then back-to-back weekend 65s for 13th place in 2023. So I think it's safe to say Adrian Thadier loves Cranthothiar, and he's never teed up there with more self-belief, Dave. Obviously, the win gave him a huge, huge injection of confidence. He's a 33-year-old at the peak of his powers, nicely rested, which I think is a key point at this stage of the year. He finished 52nd on his major debut in the Open in July, 24th in the Danish Golf Championship, his only subsequent outing. Accurate driver, putting well this year. None of the market leaders appeal at the prices. So, yeah, all about Adrian Thadier.
Love it. And if I find out that he's put the wrong setting on his shaver as well, I'm going to double down on him as well, because that are the trends we're looking for this week. Right, here's the main selection. Who else are we going for?
Jason Scrivener, an Aussie loving life, getting back to his best. He's got two young sons who have been keeping him on his toes in recent years. He's admitted it's been a distraction raising those guys, but he's settled into life as a father now. We've seen flashes of his A game in the last few weeks. He won on the Australasian Tour in 2017. It looked likely he was going to become a DP World Tour champion. He's come close on numerous occasions over the last decade. Third in the Hong Kong Open in 2015, third in the 2016 Perth International, third in Hong Kong again in 2018, third in the Nedbank Challenge in 2019, second in the Abu Dhabi Championship in 2021, third in the Made in Himaland that year, second in the Aussie PGA in 2022. He's been close, but no cigar. At the age of 36, is he going to do a Fleetwood and make that breakthrough? I think it can happen on Sunday. Scrivener's strength's always been driving accuracy, Dave. Back him in tests of precision, the Hong Kong Open, prime example of that. Cranthothiar fits that bill. It's a course which takes plenty of getting to know. I'm not backing any debutants this week. Tight, yeah. Fiddly, out, you know, tough yardages at altitude. It wasn't until his fifth visit that it seemed Scrivener had got a handle on the place. He was 36th in 2023, carded a couple of 65s that week. Then last year, he showed he seriously understands the assignment now. He was enduring a miserable 2024, Dave. He teed off as world number 469 last year, but rounds of 64, 69, 72, 67, finished fourth. He was only three shots shy of the playoff. It was his best result of the year, so he'd be licking his lips at coming back here in much better form. He started the year all right. He finished fourth in Ras Al Khaimah, but then there was a little dip. But over the last month or so, that form has returned. Eighth place in the Barracuda Championship, 42nd in the Nexo, 12th in the Danish Championship, and then last week, 24th in the British Masters. 72, 72, 70, 68. Got better as the week went on. Only five players outscored him in the final round. Massive price, massive each way value.
I like it. Listen, I'm always listening in, Steve, with intent, every word that comes out of your mouth. But I am really struggling with him, with those locks waving away. Yes. Need to get a good brush through them as well, mate.
Yeah, I'm sweating up big time now, but I'm determined to see it to the death. Andy Sinton. Is Andy Sinton got there?
Our producer, Ben, was quite insistent that they stayed on the whole show, but I'm still itching. I'm still having to come out in some kind of rash from that. I don't know.
Andy Sinton had a heart attack the other day. I hope he's well. I wish his family well. Come on, Andy Sinton.
Yes, I did see that. It's all right. One more to come then from your team, Steve. Is it a big, juicy price?
Yes, Dave, it is. It's an enormous price. It's Manuel Elvira. Last week was all about the Hogarth brothers. The Fitzpatrick brothers played well Alex Fitzpatrick played well as well as Matt. Maybe this week it'll be about the Elvira brothers. Nacho has already won on the DP World Tour. I think Manuel is good enough to do so also. And I've liked what I've seen over the last 3 months. He was 11th in the Soudal Open test of accuracy, tight tree line course, 7th in the KLM Open, 19th in the Italian Open, 3rd in the ISCO Championship, co-sanctioned with the PGA Tour. That was last month. And then last week, 27th at the Belfry. This is a lovely spell of form from Manuel Oliveira. He was a DP World Tour rookie last year, graduated from the Challenge Tour. Last year, he finished 4th in the Kenya Open, another test of accuracy. I think he's a man to follow when there's a premium on finding fairways. And I like Oliveira in this region. You know, he started his career on the Alps Tour, played the Alps Tour for a few seasons. In 2019, he started on the Alps Tour. So you got tournaments in Italy, Austria, France. He's played well in Austria on the Challenge Tour. He was 19th in the 2022 Swiss Challenge on the Challenge Tour. And I think over time, he'll establish a good record at Kranjthurthiere. He's only played in one European Masters. He arrived in abysmal form for it last year. He was in a spell of 9 consecutive missed cuts. So I'm not going to worry about him missing the cut at Crans last year. Useful sighter for me. This time, he's arrived in much better nick. I think the course suits and, he is very deep in the betting, Dave.
Everything bundled in terms of the altitude, like the player has got to have experience playing at altitude, which I'm sure most of them have. The caddy has got to be a factor as well, Steve. Like, how much are you leaning on, you know, players that not just course form, but are quite experienced and this kind of conditions?
Yeah, fair point. And we'll come to the favourite. There's two dual champions at the top of the market, Matt Fitzpatrick and Alex Noren. Just on the, you mentioned the caddies, just a little tidbit for people who don't get around to watching the live stuff. I know it's Billy Foster has been caddying for Lee Westwood in the last couple of weeks on the live circuit. So Billy Foster's been going, Fitzpatrick sacked him. Then he had this little dalliance with Colin Morikawa, didn't he, if you remember rightly, around the Open. It was lovely to see Westwood and Billy Foster, the old band back together in the live events, but I think it's only a temporary measure. But yeah, you're right, this is a test of control, accuracy, course management, and a good caddy is part of that.
Right, market leaders then. Matt Fitzpatrick, we might as well start with him.
Yeah, Matt Fitzpatrick. I mean, on Sunday, really disappointing, wasn't he? He was a short price favourite going into the final round of the British Masters. Finished tied 6th. 3 bogeys in his first 6 holes. You know, that was he didn't advertise his Ryder Cup claims on Sunday. Poor start. 5 bogeys in total on Sunday. Shot 74. So I think that's put a bit of pressure on Fitzpatrick going into this week. But he couldn't pick a better course to bounce back from that disappointing Sunday. He's a 2-time Crans champion, as I mentioned. But he hasn't won a 4-round event, Dave, for more than 2 years. So I've no interest in single figures about Fitzpatrick, despite that great course record. I think he's under a bit of pressure.
What about, when's the captain's pick being made for the Ryder Cup, which we are keep banging on about, but we're going into.
Yeah,
gets picked?
No. That's after the European Masters. Right. Yeah. So we will get to that. We got the American Ryder Cup picks tomorrow, Wednesday.
The Europeans not being made at the same time.
No. They're after the European Masters. Right. So, yeah,
I thought that could have been a factor. It could have been buoyed by.
No. It's fascinating because obviously you've got lots of Ryder Cup wildcard potential picks playing in this European Masters.
Exactly. It's fascinating. Yeah, that is a big factor. Yeah.
You look at Matt Wallace, Dave. I mean, Matt Wallace, the last 2 Sundays, he's been playing well, and then he gets to Sunday and he's mentally imploded. You know, such an intense character. Shot an 81 in Denmark in the final round. Shot a 77 at the Belfry in the final round. So, Matt Wallace seems to be imploding under the Ryder Cup pressure. I think even if he wins this week, he's defending champion. Even if he successfully defends his title, I can't see Matt Wallace getting a pick now. Alex Noren, 2-time Crans champion, won last week. Probably the most tempting of the market leaders, Dave, because he's fresh. He had this long injury layoff. He's fresh coming into this part of the season. But he hasn't played in the European Masters since missing the cut in 2019. So that's when I decided to leave him out, because it's a long spell away from Kranjthurthiere. There's always little changes to the course. So maybe Noren and Lee need a round to settle into it. I'd say Noren and Nikolai Hoggar were the 2 tempting ones, Dave, from the top.
Well, the other one I'll ask you about, the head of the market, then, is Aaron Rye.
Aaron Rye, yeah, it's got humdrum lately, isn't it? It's another one who's probably quietly been restricted by Ryder Cup pressure because, you know, he obviously in the conversation and his form has just dipped a level in the build up to the Ryder Cup, and he's got a surprisingly bad Crans record. So I can't have Aaron Rye. Marco Penge missed the cut on his Crans debut last year. Far from ideal layout, I think, for Marco Penge. I think the fun comes to an end this week for Marco Penge. It was Norrin or Nikolai Hoggard if I was going to the top of the market. I mean, Hoggard less suited to this than the Belfry. But he's got that focus, isn't he? If you're picking between a Hoggard brother this week, they're both playing. You know, Nikolai's the one with the focus, the determination, the motivation, that, you know, the discipline probably to manage his ball properly at Crans. I mean, it'd be fascinating if they're both in contention again. I mean, answer me this, Dave. If Rasmus Hoggard and Nikolai Hoggard are in a playoff on Sunday, who does Rasmus Hoggard want to win? Who does Rasmus Hoggard want to win? I think Rasmus Hoggard would be aiming for the water.
Integrity issues now, bringing the game of golf into disrepute. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I just think Rasmus would rather Nikolai win the European Masters than Rasmus. Because if Nikolai wins the European Masters, he'll get his brother on the Ryder Cup team in all probability. So yeah, fascinating dynamics. So yeah. If Rasmus hits a wild shot into the water, maybe the integrity board need to be brought into play.
Well, that is the European Masters. Very much looking forward to that. The picturesque scenery around it as well. A reminder that our friends at SBK are offering up a 20% winnings boost. So if you can find the winner of that tournament, I'd suggest you follow Steve. But if you're making your own picks and you find the winner, 20% bonus on top there. So winnings boost offered up by SBK. Jump onto the website. Terms and conditions apply. Right then. Ryder Cup chat. You've kind of just revealed, Steve, what's about to happen over the next sort of 2 weeks. Wednesday, the American wildcards are being announced, which will complete their team. And then the European wildcards announced after the European Masters. I wish I'd read the running order properly. So I'll give you the six. We'll start with USA because they're going to complete first. Scotty Scheffler, JJ Spawn, Xander Schauffele, Russell Henley, Harris English, and Beefy Bryson DeChambeau already locked in. And then we've got, I've listed a team of potentials. Justin Thomas, Ben Griffin, Patrick Cantlay, Colin Morikawa, Keegan Bradley, the captain, Cameron Young, Sam Burns, Maverick McNealy, and Chris Gotterup. Anything else to add on the list of maybes?
Well, I was trying to make myself look as much like Tommy Fleetwood as possible there, but his teeth are in so much better condition than mine. he smiles a lot, doesn't he? And you go, but his teeth are a different colour to mine. I've got a lot to add on the American Ryder Cup team. Keegan Bradley's got such difficult decisions to make. I almost think it's impossible to. Yeah, it's definitely impossible to please everyone.
The very first question for you is: do you think he will pick himself?
I think he will. I think the noises coming out of his mouth suggest he will. I don't think he should. I think if I was Ryder Cup captain, I would pick Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, Brian Harman, Cameron Young, Patrick Cantlay and Sam Burns. But I'm not Ryder Cup captain. I don't think that's what will happen. Keegan Bradley, it seems like he made a decision a few weeks back, actually. There was a sort of shift in the way he approached these interviews. And I feel like he made the decision a few weeks ago when he won the Travelers. I feel like he decided he was going to be on the team. But the trouble is, he's 11th in the standings. If he picks himself and then leaves out players that are ahead of him in the standings, it's massively controversial, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if he picks himself, he's got to be so brave to leave out anyone ahead of him. And, you know, I think that created a bit of a mess, because if that's the case, if he picks himself and has to pick those ahead of him, then he has to pick Ben Griffin. He has to pick Maverick McNealy. Ben Griffin is the most interesting one at this stage, I'll say. If Keegan Bradley picks himself and leaves out Ben Griffin, I mean, that is so harsh on Ben Griffin, isn't it? But, is it the right thing to do? I mean, I personally would have neither of them on the team, you know, being aware of how harsh that is on Ben Griffin, who's ninth in the standings. You remember the Netflix drama when Keegan Bradley was filmed getting told he wasn't in the team? Is Keegan Bradley prepared to put Ben Griffin through what he went through? I don't know. But as I say, I know who I'd pick. I think Justin Thomas and Colin Morikawa, absolute certainties. Cameron Young is playing so well, well suited to the course. New York man, knows the course well. I think Cameron Young is a really good wildcard pick. Patrick Cantlay gets on so well with Xander Schauffele. They play foursomes golf well together. I think you need Patrick Cantlay despite Sunday's dramas. And then Sam Burns is in great nick. Brian Harman, a gritty customer.
Would you pick Sam Burns just to play with Scottie Scheffler?
Well, this is what I'm talking about, like upsetting people. It's inevitable that Keegan Bradley is going to upset a lot of people here, because if he leaves out Sam Burns, Scottie Scheffler's not going to be very happy. Because Scottie Scheffler and Sam Burns, best mates, Scheffler would like to play with Sam Burns, and Sam Burns is playing well enough to justify a wildcard pick. So do you upset Scottie Scheffler, the best player on your team, by leaving out his mate? Or do you upset Xander Schauffele, the second best player on your team, by leaving out Patrick Cantlay? And if you pick both of them, then you've got to maybe leave out Ben Griffin, which is quite deflating for the whole process, isn't it? Like Ben Griffin, ninth in the standings, obviously hasn't got any experience of the Ryder Cup. And I think Keegan Bradley is a mess. Like I've dropped into his trousers there for a few seconds, and I feel a mess. I think he's got some big decisions about. I think it's so much easier if he leaves himself out. It's just absolutely no value in picking yourself.
Surely everything that's being said here just makes such a strong case for the captain not being a player, but an active player.
Yeah, there's so many. Keegan Bradley being a player does not enhance the chances of USA winning the competition. It's the opposite.
Luke Donald's not going to pick himself, is it? So because he's not playing.
Luke Donald is not going to pick himself. Keegan Bradley does not need to pick himself. There are better options than him, in my opinion. If he picks himself, as I say, if he picks himself and then leaves out players that are ahead of him in the standings, his team spirit a little bit dented. Ben Griffin, I sort of sense that Ben Griffin is going to get left out. As I say, I think it's the right decision, but I think if Keegan Bradley picks himself while leaving Ben Griffin out, it's poisonous. Poisonous, Dave.
Right, so this announcement is being made on Wednesday. We've already got the six, so just confirm your six, Steve, and anyone watching on YouTube, have a go yourself, and we'll sort of maybe look back next week and the next show and see who's got it right. So who's going to be, not who you want it, or if you...
Oh, not who I want. Oh, okay, not who I
want. Who do you think is going to be? I want your prediction here. Who do you think is going to be the six?
I can't resist telling you who I want. I'd love to be in that position.
It's not just for a moment, Steve. It's not about you, okay?
Well, actually,
what do you think is going to happen?
Who I want is Tim Herron. Tim Herron, Fuzzy Zeller, because I want Europe to win. Who I would pick if I was in was Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, Brian Harman, Cameron Young, Patrick Cantlay, Sam Burns. I'll be a bit nervous if those six get picked. I think it would then become a more interesting contest, because I'm quietly confident about Europe's chances. But I think what it will go with is Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, Cameron Young. I don't think he'd be able to resist Cameron Young. And then Patrick Cantlay and Sam Burns, maybe to keep both of them happy, and then himself. So he could go Thomas, Morikawa, Bradley, Young, Cantlay, Burns. Yeah, maybe the only difference is leaving Harman out for himself. But then, as I say, I don't know how he can do that and look himself in the mirror. So I think Ben Griffin has to come in. And then who do you leave out if you bring Ben Griffin in? Maybe you leave out Cameron Young, maybe you leave out Cantlay, maybe you leave out Burns. But it depends. He's obviously having these conversations with Scottie Scheffler. He's obviously chatting about Sam Burns to Scottie Scheffler. I mean, Scottie Scheffler, we must remember, played well with Russell Henley in the President's Cup. It was like they were trying to foster a Scheffler-Henley combination. So maybe Bradley will go to Scheffler and say, look, can you play with Russell Henley again, mate? Sam's a bit deep down the standings. It's a mess, Dave. It's an absolute mess.
But let's get on to a team that's not a mess, and that is Team Europe. Right, locked in, we have got Rory McIlroy, Robert McIntyre, Tommy Fleetwood, Justin Rose, Tyrrell Hatton, Rasmus Højgaard. They are the six. I've got a list again, Steve. John Rahm, yep. Ludvig Åberg, Victor Hovland, Seb Straka, Shane Lowry, Matt Fitzpatrick, Harry Hall, Nicolai Højgaard, Marco Penge, Aaron Rye, Christopher Wrighton. six from that list, or anything, anyone else you think's in the frame to be picked?
Well, okay, as things stand, I would pick Shane Lowry, Sepp Straka, Ludwig Aubert, Victor Hovland, John Rahm, and Nikolai Hoggar.
So by Matt Fitzpatrick, right?
I don't think Luke Donald will. I think he'll pick five of mine. But yeah, Matt Fitzpatrick may get the nod over Nikolai Hoggard. I don't know. Yeah, Fitzpatrick's Ryder Cup record is not great, but an experienced major champion, I suppose he's the safe play. You know, is Luke Donald going to go for the safe play? He doesn't strike me as the sort that definitely will. You know, this is a fellow that's already won the Ryder Cup. Maybe he's like me. He won't be able to resist the lure of putting the Hoggard brothers together. Two magnificent drivers on a long course. He might not be able to resist it. I hope he's feeling the same as me. You know, no disrespect to Matt Fitzpatrick and his army of proud Englishmen that love him. Yeah, I love him too, but I just feel that the Hoggard brothers together would be devastating. I think there's a small chance, Dave, a small chance that both Fitzpatrick and Nikolai get on the team. I think it all comes down to how Sepp Straka is feeling. I don't know if you've been following Sepp Straka, Dave. He withdrew from the BMW Championship for some personal problems. I don't know what they are.
I was going to say, did we find out what they are?
No. It's quite pleasant in this day and age of like everyone knowing everything about everything. And like, you know, social media, invasive stuff. I thought it was great that nobody knows what's going on with Ted Scott, Scottie Scheffler's caddy, only the people closest to him. I like the fact that nobody really knows what's going on with Ted Scott.
Only the people that need to know, yeah.
Only the people that need to know. Yeah, it's quite refreshing. And it's the same with Sepp Straka. Nobody knows what's been going on with Sepp Straka, apart from the people closest to him, as you say, who need to know. But the thing is, he returned for the Tour Championship last week and finished last. He was four shots behind in last place. So no doubt Luke Donald and Sepp Straka are talking to each other. If Sepp Straka needs to miss the Ryder Cup for whatever reason, if he's not going to be able to get his form back in time, then I think Fitzpatrick and Nikolai Hoggard will get the gig. And I don't think there's anyone else in contention. I mean, I think the Ryder Cup chat is very narrow. I don't think Marco Penge, even if he wins this week, I just don't think Marco Penge is going to get the nod. I think you'd go with Nikolai Hoggard in that scenario. I don't think Harry Hall's got any chance at all. I know there's been lots of Harry Hall chat. I don't think he's, the fact he's not bothering to play in the European Masters says a lot. I think, Harry Hall, not the most popular character on the circuit. I've had a few people tell me about he can be a bit of a difficult character to deal with. Who else did you mention, Dale? I just don't think there's anyone else to
Aaron Rye,
form dips come at a bad time.
I'm just trying to put a few in the mix, Steve, but you know, we're on the same wavelength in that Luke Donald's not got anywhere near the headache that Keegan Bradley's got, has he?
No, absolutely not. No, it's just serene. So he's had Europeans winning events all year. Everything's gone right for Luke Donald, and you know, and the market is obviously reflecting that a little bit. You know, when the prices first came out for this match, you know, much different to how it is now. They're getting closer together in the betting. Home advantage is always such a massive
well, we
thing
are looking
in these
at USA but, 5-6, Europe 6-4, the draw 12-1, ballpark prices. As I said to you before we started even recording this show, just looking at the two lists of names on a bit of paper, I think Europe look really strong. Like there's a lot of experience of golfing in America, experience of golfing in high-pressure situations as well. So home advantage, everything that's going on. But Team Europe look really strong, really strong. And yeah. I'm staring at like prices like 6-4, 11-8, and I'm thinking, drawing me in.
Yeah, I agree. It's a classic puzzle for punters, this, because if you know, what you need to do now, Dave, is go away and look at Ryder Cup results. How many times does the home team win the Ryder Cup? Yeah, that'll temper your enthusiasm. And then you have to reflect on, you know, what you're putting more stock in, because I think you're right. I think Team Europe is coming together really nicely. Remains to be seen how Team USA line up, but I don't think it's going to be as impressive as Team Europe. But then look at the statistics on home teams in the Ryder Cup. Yeah, I always back the home team in the Ryder Cup. I've got a real conundrum to deal with here. You know, is home advantage going to be the key factor like it always is now? Or is this European side good enough to end that trend? Big decisions to make in the next month or so.
Yeah, well, I was just digging out some dates, obviously the end of September, not too far away, and we will be covering that in all manner of which ways right here on the Sweet Spot. Got some big plans for you, so looking forward to all of that. Right, that is Steve's predictions then for the teams. As I say, jump in the comments below and let us know your predictions. We'll have a little look back next week and see who's nailed the Americans team there and who has missed out. Right, a tipping roundup then. Just one tournament this week. Steve, give us your selections.
Adrian Sadier, Jason Scrivener, Manuel Elvira. Watch your bets. Nacho's playing too. Manuel Elvira.
Yes, that's a careful. I used to, when I was at uni, I worked in a betting shop, and there was a man that went around. I think he was known as the Pencil Man at one point, and ambiguous bets. So you know, there might be one or two unscrupulous characters out there just writing Elvira on the slip this week.
Disgusting. Yeah, no. Bet responsibly. Bet with dignity. It's got to be a fair fight between the two of us.
Yeah, not often is, but yeah, I'd echo that. Right, what are your plans, Steve? More immediately, how long do you plan to keep that Barnet going?
For about another 15 seconds till we wrap up this broadcast, and then I'll go and mop the sweat off my brow.
Just the one tournament this week, so you must have plans, Steve. This is like you're going to have loads of free time this week. Is it right?
Yeah.
What's going on?
I wish it was an evening event rather than a daytime event. That would be lovely, because then you could get out in the day. I mean, the summer's nearing an end now, isn't it? The nights are drawing in, aren't they, Dave? So I'm very keen to get a bit more summer out. Yeah, because the majors are all boom, boom, boom in the summer. As a golf writer, the summer is very intense. Now the majors are over, I want to get some sunshine before it all ends and the conkers come out. But that's my plan. Yeah, fresh air and Cranthurthiar. Oh, it rhymed. It's wonderful.
Get on the golf course, mate. Get on the golf course. There's still time. The back end of the summer is still here. I played 9 holes and teed off at 5:52 last week, so it can still be done. There's still time at the end of the day, easily.
You're not playing with Patrick Cantlay, then you...
No, yeah, we would have got down the first if I was playing with Patrick Cantlay. Right, you out there, thank you once again for watching. Do get involved with us here. Like, comment and subscribe. Gamble responsibly. Enjoy the golf this week. Take in the scenery. Incredible place to watch and play golf. And we'll be back for more Ryder Cup chat, no doubt, and next week. We'll see you then.